So I ran across an individual, and he found out very early on in the conversation that I was an assistant pastor. And just immediately he blurted out, "Well, I'm a good Christian." And I'm like, "Okay." And so, you know, and my curiosity peaked a little bit, and I'm like, you know, in the conversation, I was asking him, I'm like, "Well, hey, you know, my Bible reading right now is taking me in Genesis and the Gospels. Where's your Bible reading taking you?" And he just had this blank stare, like, you know, kind of like a calf looking at a new gate, you know. And anyways, later on, I was talking to him about church, and I'm like, "Well, yeah, the midweek service is coming up." He's like, "You guys have a midweek service?" And anyways, the further I went, the more I was very confused on what he thought a good Christian was. And so this kind of sparked my curiosity, and I thought, you know what? I wonder what God deems to be a good Christian. And so I started a study, I'll be honest with you, more for myself than anything. And I started to study the marks of a good Christian. And to be honest with you, I think I'm only going to be able to get through one point tonight. If I went through all the points, Lillian, you'd have your way. And so we're only going to, I think we're only going to go through one point. But, you know, I think a lot of times today, Christian is a very loose term. And what Christian means, you know, you go back to when they were first called Christians at Antioch. And well, why? Because they were Christ-like. And so here's the thing is that a lot of times nowadays, many people put a label on themselves Christians, but I'm not so sure that Christ would put the label of Christian on them. And so we're going to look here and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And so we're going to look at the first mark of a good Christian. And so hopefully we find ourselves in this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Bible says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." See, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, one of the first things when I was studying out was that popped out at me was a good Christian has a love for his church. And you know, the thing about it is a lot of times, too many times, we take and we view church as a chore. It's time for church again. You know, I could have my lawn mowed if it wasn't for the church time. And you know, just think about all I could. Here's the thing is, you know what? If we love Christ, you know, here's the thing is, I ran across the saying, "Lose your love for the house of God, and it's a mere reflection that you have lost your love for God. Show me your love for God's house, and I'll show you your love for God." And so the thing about it is, you know what, it's true. When I look back at my life, you know what, the more I loved the house of God, the more I was closer to God, and the more Christ-like I was. Here's the thing is, when you sum it all up, Christian is basically Christ-like. And so if we place this label on us, and somebody doesn't look at us and say, "I saw Jesus in you," well then the thing about it is, bless God, I don't know if we're truly good Christians. And so, turn your Bibles. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And so I think sometimes we, like I said, we place a label on ourselves, but do we place it accurately? Ephesians chapter 5 verses 21 through 25. The Bible says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And here's the thing is that right there will take care of a lot of spats. "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God." And it goes on, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Going on, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So the thing about it is the church is not the building. The church is the believers. I think this passage makes it very clear. And the thing about it is when we take and we're not loving going to church, we're not loving the believers like we should. Here's the thing is Christ died for sinners. Why did he die? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So here's the thing is that when we lose our love for the house of God, we have basically lost our love for what Christ loved enough to die for. And so you look back at it, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And so here's the thing, is Christ should be our head. You know what? Our marching orders should come from this book right here. And we want to know how the church should operate. Right here in the book, right here in the Bible. And it goes back to what we were talking about this morning. God's Word is powerful. God's Word ordains how the church should be run. And the thing about it is that the person who founded it died for it that He might sanctify us. Turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 26. The Bible says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand the preachers who will take surveys on what people want. You know what? They should take a survey on what God wants. I'll be honest with you. When a preacher takes and, you know, here's the thing is, I remember in Michigan, I believe it was the Happy Church in Michigan over there near Saginaw. This preacher went out and knocked on doors. What do you want in a church? Well, I'll be honest with you. That didn't mean a hill of beans. And what matters is what does God say? Here's the thing is, too many times people think, you know what? Well, hey, what I want in a church is this, this, and this. Oh, well, wait a minute. Back up here a minute. What does God want in a church? And so the thing about it is God obviously has an opinion because He sanctified it. He was the founder of it, and He died for the church, and there should be a way the church is run. And you know what? I believe in the old time religion. Aaron was just pointing at a song. He's like, isn't this your favorite song? Yeah, I don't know if he was joking around or not. It was the old time religion. You know what? I am an old fashioned, Bible believing, King James believing, Baptist preacher that believes the Word of God. You know what? And I believe that God does not change and neither should we. You know, the thing about it is too many times we're taking and we're following the world's fads. I say we as Christianity as a whole, not necessarily, praise God, it's not this church. I'm glad we still sing from the, I don't have a songbook, it's right up there, the old-fashioned songbook. We don't have projections with 7-Eleven songs, 7 words repeated 11 times, and we don't take and we don't have the drum set up here, although Lillian's tried many times, and I'm just joking, Lillian's probably one of the fierce defenders of the faith in this church, and I tell you what, you know what, here's the thing, is so many churches are taking soul winning out, they're taking standards out, they're taking convictions out, they're taking godly music out, and by the way, they're throwing Jesus right out too. You know what? They're doing what they want, and we're going to talk about this later on. You know what? We need to get back to the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. There you go, Aaron. And you know what? We should believe. I'll be honest with you. One thing that baffles my mind is I believe that a preacher shouldn't get up in shorts and sandals. And you know, here's the thing is there are preachers. They'll do away with the pulpit. And they'll have a bar stool like they're in a comedy club or something. And I don't know what their deal is. And they'll be wearing shorts and flip-flops. And the thing about it is that, you know what? I believe that we should dress up and give God our best. And you ever think about this for a minute? I'm kind of getting sidetracked a little bit. But Muslims make their statement on what they wear. Why can't we make our statement that, hey, we're born-again Christians? I like the fact that many times people stop my wife, hey, you're a Christian. Why? Because she dresses like a lady. And nowadays it just seems like it's unheard of. And but anyways, here's the thing is that we need to get back to old time religion. Now think about this for a minute. There are approximately, according to what I could find, there are approximately 300 million people in our nation. Only about 20% of them claim to attend church on a regular basis. That means 80% stay home or do other things. And here's the thing is, of that 20%, only a fraction of them are fundamental Bible-believing churches. Only a small fraction of them. Now, you look at America. Think about this, all the mass shootings. I just read about a mass shooting out in New Jersey, 21 people injured. And you know what? Here's the thing is that you remember how it used to be when the stores were shut down on Sunday? How many people can remember that? Where you didn't have businesses open on a Sunday. Now you got all kinds of stuff open on a Sunday. They don't care. And but anyways, the thing about it is that look at what America used to be and what she is now. America used to shut down on Sunday. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. A lot of you know where I'm going with this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says this: if my people, which are called by my name, those are Christians, right? Christians is somebody that's Christ-like. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Boy, isn't that a tall order. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And that's where God loses a lot of us that call ourselves Christians. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Think about what America used to be. Closed on Sunday, a godly nation where a majority of people attended church. If we keep on going the way we are, our children won't remember how it is right now. Have you thought about this? If we continue as a nation to go this way, there might be a preacher in 20 years when my kids are sitting in church and saying, how many remember what it was like having Sunday night and Wednesday night services? How many remember what it was like when we actually had revivals? How many remember what it was like? And the thing about it is the sad part about it is that, you know what? That should never be. I want my kids to know what it's like to attend a Sunday school, a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night. And I know this is the wrong crowd for that, but the thing about it is too many times we've lost our love for the house of God. And I'll be honest with you, this is why the numbers are so high on Sunday morning and Wednesday night Sunday night it tapers off and Wednesday night it tapers off. Why? Because we go and we've labeled ourselves as a good Christian, but we've lost our love for the house of God. And here's the thing is if we've lost our love for the house of God, we've lost our love for the God that ordained the church that we're a part of. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says this. Then I said unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's the thing is, you know what? Church, the word for church is ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. A group called out of this old sinful world. Did you realize that God calls us to be a peculiar people? That's not like weird. That's not, look at that person. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, too many times the world views this as weird. The world, you mean you go to church on Sunday night? You mean you go to church on Wednesday night? But the thing about it is we're to be called out unto Christ with Him as the head. You see, the thing about it is whenever we say something like, well, I don't need that much church. Well, I think Sunday school is for children. And I just don't think that that's as important. You know what? I can go on vacation and I'll just take a vacation from God. I'll be honest with you. At that point in time, we should look ourselves in the mirror and say, what is wrong with me? Why have I lost my love for God? And the thing about it is that, you know what? We need to learn to love and appreciate the church that God has placed us in. Too many times we take and we decide, we find out that the pastor is human. And we think, oh, he's human. And we find out that the people sitting in the pews next to us, especially if it's our spouse, they're human. And here's the thing is, too many times we go through and it's like the verse, great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. I wonder why we get offended sometime. I'll be honest with you. It's because we've allowed our flesh to take over. And the thing about it is we should be in love with the church of God. We should look forward to it. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The Bible says this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so here you have basically this church. They're growing. There's people getting saved and they're getting baptized. And then what you see? They're continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine Well, guess what? What's the apostles' doctrine? They were basically sitting under the preaching of God's word. And they were growing because they were paying attention. They were listening. They weren't passing notes. You know, this kind of spills over from the teenagers, but sometimes we adults, we get teenage tendencies. And you know what? You know, we're not passing notes. We're not, you know, we're not goofing off, and we're not reading songbooks, and we're not doing other things. Hey, listen, we're paying attention. And you know what? They were growing in the grace of God. And here's the thing: is they continued steadfast. You know what steadfast means? They continued doing it without stopping. In other words, the action was not broken. And so here's the thing is when we're flaky in church, I tell you what, it usually means that our walk with God is just as flaky. And the thing about it is steadfast means firm. We need to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And then it goes on. And fellowship. I tell you what, you're not going to get fellowship out in the world, because in order to have godly fellowship, you have to have another Christian there with you. And so the thing about it is if we're fellowshipping with the world, and you know what? That's going to rub off on us. We need godly fellowship. And the Bible in this context, it was talking about the local church. And here's the thing is we should fellowship with each other. You know, in Bible college, they always told us, you know what? You can always tell the health of a church by how much they talk before the church and how much they talk after the church. If everybody comes in late and everybody leaves early, chances are there's a serious problem in the church. And I like the fact that Sunday morning everybody's hanging out in the lobby, joking around and having a good time. And you know what? That's a sign of a healthy church. And we should be continue in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I like the fact that, you know what? Pastor is a very smart individual, and I, you know what? I thank God for Pastor. I think there's a reason why he has two prayer times in our services, Wednesday night and Sunday morning before Sunday school. Why? Because you know what? The Bible says that God's speaking, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. And so here's the thing is, how much do we pray for somebody else? Here's the thing is, maybe that's why we don't enjoy coming to church as much, because we haven't invested in somebody else. We're just invested in us. During prayer times, do we write down, hey, oh, Aaron needs prayer. I already know Aaron needs prayer. But anyways, the thing about it is, oh, so-and-so is sick. Let's pray for them. So-and-so has cancer. Let's pray for them. Hey, so-and-so has a surgery. Let's pray for them. So-and-so is traveling. Let's pray for them. How many times have we prayed for those prayer requests? Those prayer requests aren't just there to, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Well, bless her heart. And, you know, the thing about it is that it's not there for gossip. It's there for prayer. My house is to be a house of prayer. And anyways, but the thing about it is that how many times have we invested in somebody else? Maybe that's why we don't love the house of the Lord, because I'll be honest with you. The more you pray for somebody, the more you love them. The thing about it is you know what? We ought to be the most prayerful group of people out of anybody. There was an individual that came here this morning looking for a good church. How much have we prayed for him? You say, he just came this morning. I know. And you know what? The devil's going to try and keep him out of a good local church. And so the thing about it is people like that need prayer. Here's the thing is we need to be praying for each other. And verse 47, the Bible says this, praising God. By the way, we ought to be people praising God. Amen. We have a lot to thank God for. And I'll be honest with you, it is so easy to get wrapped up in a negativity. And you know what? It seems to be human nature. But you know what? It's hard to be negative when we're praising God. Praise God for lights. Praise God for air. Amen. And you know what? Praise God that we have a beautiful church building. Praise God that we have an awesome pastor. Praise God that we have a pianist. A lot of churches don't. Praise God that we have a song leader. Maybe. Not joking. And anyways, praise God. Praise God for our ministries. Praise God for our yeah, here's the thing is if we praise God just about the things that we're here in this church, I tell you what, number one, we'd feel a whole lot more fondly towards it. And by the way, maybe we'd start to realize how blessed we are. And so back to verse 47, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, and having favor in all the church. Here's the thing is these are a group of people that liked being together. And you know what? The Bible says right after that, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. When someone's looking for a church, they don't want a grouch patch. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. They're not looking for a place like that. They're not looking for a place. Oh my goodness. Did you hear about the world? You know? And here's the thing. They're not looking for a place like that. They're not looking for a place. So-and-so sat in my seat. I'm going to get them. You know what? They're not looking for a place like that. You know what? I tell you what. If they want strife, all they have to do is, a lot of times, it sounds funny, but it's not. A lot of times, all they got to do is go home or go to work or go around their place. Here's the thing is, they're looking for a haven. They're looking for a spiritual hospital where they can go and hear about the grace of God, where they can hear about mercy, when they can hear about victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Listen, the thing about it is that's what we should be wanting for our church as well. Is, hey, listen, praising God, there ought to be shouting, there ought to be praising God, and there ought to be, you know what? We ought not be, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. We should be praising God and saying, you know what? There is victory in Christ. Jesus is the answer. This book is powerful. And let me tell you about an awesome God. That's what attracts people to a church. The thing about it the Bible says they continued steadfast. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. This church ought to be a preaching station. You know what? We ought to come to church not just to get, but to give. You know, the thing about it is we ought to spread the gospel. And when we take, and you know what, when it comes down to this church, when we decide that we're going to be an occupy, here's the thing is, that's not what the verse says, occupy till I come. And there's no songs in the songbook, I occupy. No, here's the thing is, you know what, we shouldn't occupy 4 inches or 6 inches or some of us 12 inches, you know, here's the thing is that, listen, we shouldn't just occupy a spot on the pew. We should get involved. We should get involved and we should do things. You know what? We should want to see God working in our church. And this ought to be a preaching station. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teaching, having itching ears. You ever wonder why there's so many false churches nowadays? So many times churches that are just the feel-good churches, the happy church, you know, the ones where, you know what, sin isn't that bad, and you know what, don't feel bad about yourself, just feel good about yourself, and hey, listen, you know what, just come, give us your money, and leave, and everything's okay. Aren't you glad you're not a part of a church like that? Aren't you glad you're a part of a church that has a Bible that and a pastor that gets up and says, thus saith the Lord? And I tell you what, when it comes down to it, we should be careful about just wanting to hear what we hear or hear what we want to hear. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, it is good to hear about the love of God. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. If the preacher never preaches on sin, I never get convicted. And the Lord knows I need to be at an old-fashioned altar every now and then. And you say, you're a pastor. I know, and pastors are sinful people too. And the thing about it is you know what? Sinful people need to get right with God just like anybody. And here's the thing is, when we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Basically, we're a liar. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to be a part of a church that preaches the Word of God. And you know what? We should praise God that we're a part of a church like that. Turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. The Bible says this. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now Jesus is just, you look at the verse up, and Jesus just cast out the money changers out of the temple. See, the thing about it is there was a group of people that decided, you know what? We can capitalize on God's house. We can push our agenda. We can take, and you know what? We're going to take and we're going to change what God ordained in the house of God. I believe that's what fired up God the most, is the fact that, you know what, people were deciding that their will was going to be put. Here's the thing, is they were going to change money in the house of God, and they were going to try and profit off of the people of God. Here's the thing, is, you know what, we got to come to church and say, you know what, who can I be a blessing to? Hey, who? Where can I serve? I guarantee you, if you went up to pastor and said, Pastor, I've been praying about it, and I want to serve God in our church more, he would probably have a heart attack, and he'd probably be in the hospital for several days. And the thing about it is that, you know what? We should want to give. It is better to give than to receive. And so when it comes down to it, it goes back to my house shall be called a house of prayer, but also the fact that, you know what? We should make it. We should put God back on the throne of our church. And so anyways, if a church is going forward, she's going to have to go forward on her knees. Here's the thing is, I remember hearing a statement about this. Every failure is a prayer failure. So if we fail, you realize that God can't fail. So if we fail as an individual, if we fail as a church, if we fail as a nation, do you realize that that's a failure of prayer? Because the thing about it is if we pray and God gives an answer, hopefully our hearts are in tune enough to where God gives us an answer, we do what God's will is. Otherwise, why would we pray and ask God for His will anyway? And so the thing about it is every failure is a prayer failure. And turn back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. This is, I'm almost done with point one. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. The Bible says this. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Two phrases in there that catch my attention. Continued with one accord in the temple and with singleness of heart. A church that is a great church and a Christian that's a great Christian, they come to church and they realize that Christ is the head. And here's the thing is, when Christ is the head and we're the servants of God, do you realize that servants have no will of their own? If we're going to be good Christians, we're going to be servants. You look back when the Bible was wrote, servants had no opinion. Servants had no input. Thing about it is, the servants just did what they were told. Do you realize that I am to be a servant of God? Thing about it is my opinion doesn't matter. And I'll be honest with you, if I got up here and I shared my opinion with you all, I'd fail. I would be wasting your time. But the thing about it is too many times we go through, and I'll be honest with you, it's pride. We go through, and rather than allowing Christ to be on the throne of this church and on the throne of our heart, we go through and we give our opinions. Thing about it is you know what? You know how we get a singleness of mind? Here's the thing is, everyone's different. Everybody has their own thoughts. Everybody has their own opinion. You know how one church comes together with singleness of mind and continuing in one accord? You have a group of people that say, you know what? I don't care about my will. I don't care about my opinion. All that matters to me is Christ. What does Christ want? How can I share the gospel more effectively? How can I how can the message be more clear? When somebody walks through those doors, how can I make them feel more welcome so that they want to come back? How can I reach them? How can I show them that they're loved here in this place? How can I show them the love of God? How can we reach the community for God? How can we reach the world for God? And when a group of people says, you know what? I want my will to be God's will. I want my mission to be God's mission. And the thing about it is all we're seeking is God's will. Guess what happens? We're all of one accord and singleness of mind. And here's the thing is, you know what? We don't care how it happens. We just want to please God. A great church is just focused on Christ as the head. But I'll be honest with you, too many times, like I said before, we go back to that Psalms 119 and verse 165. And too many times we allow our own will to get in the way. And the verse in Psalms 119 verses 165 says this: "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Because here's the thing is, do you realize that if all of us are focused on Christ, how are we going to get offended? Well, Aaron loves God, and I love God, and we're trying to go for the same goal. Well, I'm offended that he loves God. He thinks he loves God more than I do. No. We're like, praise God. You love God, I love God. Hey, yeah, great. You know? But the thing about it is too many times we get our own agendas, we get our own ways, and here's the thing is, let's just get that focus back on God. Let's just get focused back on sharing the gospel. Let's just get focused on, and here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. When we put Christ back on the throne of our church and on our heart, and we have a right relationship with God, guess what? I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait for Sunday school. I can't wait for Sunday morning. I can't wait for Sunday night. And I can't wait for Wednesday night. And you know what? I get to hear more about my Savior. I get to hear more about the one who loved me so much that he was willing to die for me. And you know what? I get to be around a whole lot of Christians. I don't have to worry about Miss Jackie cursing and swearing and cussing like a sailor. You know what? I don't have to worry about Brother Tom giving me dirty looks. You know what? He's just back there smiling and loving on God. Praise the Lord. You know what? I get to hear about Brother Tyner sharing tracks with everybody. Hey, listen. What a great place. I tell you what, there is no place like this place around the place. So this must be the place. And I tell you what, to quote the Three Stooges a little bit, but the thing about it is that, listen, I tell you what, when we get, the closer we get to God, the better this place becomes. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That's mark number one of a good Christian. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church. We thank you for how good you've been to us. And dear Heavenly Father, we can't praise you enough. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so many great people here in this building. Dear Heavenly Father, so many people that love you. It's very evident of where they are tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be contagious. Pray that you just help us to love on you and just draw closer to you. Dear Heavenly Father, and I pray that you just help us to introduce as many people as we can to you. Help us to point other people towards you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.